So starting from verse 14 and reading to 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And the second reading comes from Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35. And that's found in page 695 in our Bibles. Okay, reading 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning and the preaching later on. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. 5 days. 5 days it's taken Australia to forgive some cricketers. Timely, isn't it? Doing a sermon on forgiveness. 5 days that we went from anger and outrage. This is over this whole ball tampering scandal. And for, I reckon, a whole bunch of people here, you couldn't care less. Is that right? There's an amen. Okay. But, we've taken 5 days as a nation to shift from anger and outrage to atone, at least, a start of forgiveness, particularly towards Steve Smith. What turned us? Well, I think his conference, that time that he spoke to the media, was what turned us. It wasn't the high cost to him. I mean, he's lost his captaincy. He's lost $2.5 million worth of income this year. That's a high cost. But I can guarantee you that is not what turned Australians. It's the agony of watching a man weep on national TV and say sorry. Look like he means it, and he changes his intention to change his behaviour. I think Steve Smith will learn from this. Not all things are as easy to forgive, are they? Some things take a lot longer than 5 days. Simon Wiesenthal, who was a prisoner in World War II, he was a Jewish prisoner. He wrote about his challenge to forgive in a book called The Sunflower. And what he recounts is that he was pulled in front of a dying SS officer. That officer had participated in the mass murder of Jewish women, children and old men. and his conscience was torturing him as he was dying. So with the help of this nurse, he sought a Jew to come so he could confess to that Jew and plead for forgiveness before he died. So Vice and Saul came in, and this is what the soldier said to him. In the long nights while I've been waiting for death, time and time again, I have longed to talk about it to a Jew and beg forgiveness from him. Only I did not know whether there are any Jews left. I know only that I am asking something almost too much for you, but without your answer, I cannot die in peace. Weissenthal said nothing and left. Later, he questioned his own behaviour. Should I have forgiven him? Was my silence at the bedside of the dying Nazi right or wrong? And his book is a reflection on that experience where he asked 53 other people to help him understand whether he did the right thing or not. That's just one story of a person whose hurt is too deep that he can never forgive. It feels like it's impossible. You may be that person. You've been so hurt, abused, wounded. Those wounds go deep and the unforgiveness is profound. So when you hear somebody say you need to forgive, it feels like an impossible choice. Theologian Dale Keane. This is a Christian leader. He was sexually abused by a pastor when he was a child. When he was asked if he was able to forgive the pastor, he responded, not yet. Dale continues to struggle with forgiveness because it's not easy. His reflection, Simon Wiesenthal's reflection, is it is not easy to forgive. For those who have been hurt, you struggle with that. And Dale finishes an interview that he was in, and he said this, I know I need to let it go. I do not know how I will let it go. We can struggle to forgive when we've been hurt so deeply. And that's the human side of this servant's story that Jesus tells. If you remember, the servant owed a ridiculous debt to his master. In today's terms, it'd be millions of dollars. I don't know how you accumulate such a debt, but it's found out and the amount is unpayable. And when the debt is forgiven, it's incomprehensible that that would be the case. So when the servant leaves the master and discovers a person that owes him a small amount, of which is probably, some people estimate maybe a day's wages, maybe a week's. The debtor uses exactly the same words as the servant did to his master. Do you remember it? Be patient with me and I will pay you back. Exactly the same words. So we would expect, as the story goes, that there might be the same outcome. But this plea falls on deaf ears. And the servant isn't forgiven. The master hears about this, calls the servant forgiven of great debt to account. And just in case you ever felt like Jesus was just a nice guy who said nice things, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you, says the master. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured, chucks, until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from our heart. So the question we ask ourselves as we listen to this story is, if we've been forgiven of a great debt, surely we should show this kindness to others. And when we look at the story, our normal and usual response regarding that unforgiving servant is, well, if you're forgiven such a great debt, you seem unkind and ungenerous to not forgive such a small debt owed to you. But what if you were Simon Wiesenthal or Dale Keane? What if you were those two people? What if that were the debt owed you? Our cost, our own cost, is very real to us. When we're hurt, it's not small change, is it? When we're profoundly hurt, it's not one day's wages, it's not one week's wages. It feels like an inestimable amount. So what if you were Simon Wiesenthal or Dale Keane? How would you hear this parable? They both admit it's near impossible, if not impossible, to forgive. It's important for us to know this, if we were Simon or Dale, is that God is not unfamiliar with that kind of hurt. In the face of brutality, unbelievable brutality of what Jesus experienced, what does Jesus pray while he's on the cross? Do you remember what he prays for those who beat him? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus died to bring forgiveness to our world. He died to heal us. And you see right there on the cross, he lives out his own teaching. He taught his followers, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you. And he prays from a cross for the very enemies that have nailed his hands to a cross. He taught us in his prayer, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. He lives this out. God is not unfamiliar with the worst humanity can throw at each other. And in the face of that, Jesus prays, Father, forgive. How is it possible that you could come from such a place of brutal hurt to a place of forgiveness? In Jesus the Game Changer, there's one story which, for those of you who've seen the video, is quite profound. It's the story of Hashim Garrett. He, at 15 years of age, through a bunch of choices, he was living in Harlem, and he joined a gang, and at 15 years of age, he was shot in the back by another gang member with a machine gun, which left him as a paraplegic. While he was recovering in hospital, he was quite depressed and desperate. He's trying to understand, how do I live my life from here at 15 now that I cannot walk? His mother gave him a Bible, and he began to read that, and that Bible changed his life. One of the passages that was important to him was actually just before the text we read in verse 21 of chapter 18 of Matthew, where it says this, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to seven times. The rabbis taught that you should forgive people three times. You forgive them three times, and if they sin against you on the fourth, that's it, done. Peter was quite generous, wasn't he? He took the three and doubled it and added one. Lord, should I forgive them seven times? What does Jesus answer? I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times seven. At 15 years of age, he could do his maths, Hashim. He said, I figured that was a lot of forgiving. 77 times seven times. That's a lot of forgiving. I like to ride. And when I'm riding up hills, I count to four. You'd think I'd keep track of my counting, wouldn't you? But often I'm like, oh, what number was I up to? The reason why I count to four is all I know is I need to keep enduring the pain for the next four counts. But I keep losing track. If you're counting 77 times 7, do you think you're going to lose track? Was I up to 352 or 353? You just can't track that kind of forgiveness. And Hashim thought, if I'm going to follow Jesus, this is what he's asking of me. She made two decisions that changed his life. The first one is he wanted to follow Jesus. He said to him, says that he put his life and his future in Jesus' hands. And secondly, he took this seriously because he followed Jesus. Is he had to forgive. He had to forgive his parents because they divorced. He had to forgive his stepfather for being abusive. He had to forgive the other kid who shot him in the back with a machine gun. In the video, he talks about what was the toughest forgiveness. It was to forgive himself. that he made a whole sequence of choices that led to him being shot. And he had to forgive himself for the choices he made. You know, Hashim's story is one that reminds us it's not easy to forgive. In fact, it is impossible. But actually, Jesus changes us to do what is impossible. The point of the parable is that when you receive God's forgiveness, it opens up your capacity to forgive. That's the point of the parable. And the choice we can make in life is to let God's forgiveness do that. That's the choice we can make. This first servant seemed to not comprehend the extent of his forgiveness, what was offered to him. I don't know how he missed the point. He owed millions of dollars, but he missed it. He missed the fact he had a great debt. You know, it's very common for us to minimize the need for our own need for forgiveness. You know, I've heard some grandparents tell me this, and this is quite shocking to me, but you have grandchildren who do not know how to say sorry because it's not taught to them. That somewhere in our psyche, our cultural psyche, we don't want kids to say sorry because that might mean that they did something bad or they were bad. You know, even in this cricket thing, did you hear what they said? These are not bad people. These are good people who've made mistakes. You know, the Bible tells us that we were created to live in relationship with our God. And we took our capacity to choose great things, and we chose the worst thing ever. We chose life on our own terms. We ignored God. We disregarded him. And that puts us in a place where we're distant from God and unconnected from the life that sustains us. Paul says this about us. All have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the precarious position that we are in. In another letter when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Paul's sweeping in his statement about what kind of trouble we are in. We are all dead. We are dead. We are going to die, and we are dead in our relationship before God. And we want to say, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm a good person who just happens to do a few bad things every now and then. If that's your conviction, firstly, you will only come to Jesus to help you a little bit. So you can be nicer. A nicer person than you are. You understand so little about the debt that you've been forgiven of. You're like that first servant who has been forgiven a debt that is without compare, without understanding. You are just like that servant. We fail to appreciate the forgiveness we've received. For all we endure, all we need to forgive, we know it's not more than Jesus has borne for us. It's not more. Whatever weight is on your soul, Jesus had more. He proclaims over our world, this world full of rebels, full of disinterested people, full of folk who, if they're paying attention, they shake their fists at God, but most of them ignore him. And God, in Jesus, proclaims over this world, Father, forgive them. They are so blind, they don't even know what they're doing. You know, the story of the cross is one that repeats itself every day. You may say to yourself, I wasn't there, I didn't shout out those words. No, every day that story is repeated in our lives. And what God does is he reaches out to us so that we can reconnect to God. He sends Jesus into the world. Jesus takes on the cross our penalty. He offers us a hope beyond death. He offers us resurrection life. Sin threw its best at him, and it was never enough. Death had its final say, and it was not a full stop, it was just the beginning. This is the way that God meets our world and our sin and death. And every single one of us has a choice to make. Will we stand on our own terms, or will we actually take a hold of what God has offered us in Jesus? Now, following Jesus is a choice. It's a choice. It's the capacity you were created with. From the very beginning, you were allowed to choose God or not. And you got a choice today. Choose Him or not. Choose to live a life for Him. What we will never be confused about is that Jesus loves you. Jesus knows what kind of trouble you're in. Jesus wants to rescue you, and He wants to give the best for you. We should never be confused by that. And so the choice we can make is to receive everything that's offered to us. God's forgiveness, let it work in our hearts. Turn our unforgiveness into forgiveness. Bitterness into sweet waters of hope. You know, that's where Hashim Garrett and Dale Keane, that's the way they get through this. Is they live with their hurt, sure, but they live with God. It's Easter Sunday. You have the opportunity to make a fresh start with Jesus. I got this fantastic text message this morning from a leader on an Easter camp. He reminded me that maybe 15 years ago, unbelievable, that's gone quick, that on Easter Sunday, he and I chatted after the morning service and he gave his life to Jesus. What a great message to wake up to. He found new life. You could find that kind of new life. You could find the capacity to forgive when you receive Christ. You know, one of the things I don't want to make a mistake about is just because you attend this church, just because you've been going to church for so long, that you would have made this choice. I often talk to people who've been in church their whole lives, yet would not say that they are Christians, or would not be able to say with confidence that they've received the forgiveness of God in the person of Jesus. I do not want to presume that is true for you in this room today. Which is why I want to do this. I want to ask you to make a choice. I don't want you to be guessing anymore. Put your life in Jesus' hands. Make a fresh start. Receive the forgiveness offered by Jesus. Today could be your day. Why not make it your day today? So I'm going to pray a prayer. Repeat after me if this is your prayer today in your heart. You don't need to pray it out aloud, but you need to pray it meaning it. So I'm going to pray it. Give you space. Pray along with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you for your death on my behalf. I come to you today and say I am sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for ignoring you in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Today I put my life in your hands. I pray you will fill me with your Spirit. And I pray for the courage to live what I say, I believe. Amen. I want to pray one more prayer. I want to pray for those in this room who are struggling to forgive. Let's pray. So our God, let's not start with our struggle. We want to start with yours. We want to start, our God, with your struggle for us to win us back. And what all that you needed to do was shown to us in the cross of Jesus. That's how far your love will go to win us back to you. You will not hold our sin against us, but you hold it against your Son, and he bears that cost and price, and now we can dare to claim that we are children of God. That's where we want to start. is we want to start by remembering your great grace to us. And I would pray for any who struggle to forgive that you would fill their hearts with the great love and grace of God right now. Fill them. Cause them to rejoice over your amazing grace. And then, God, I pray that you might help them with the struggle. The things that Hashim and Dale Keane have gone through are not unfamiliar to people in this room. And they're going to need your help. And thank you, Jesus, there is help to give. So hold nothing back, I pray. Release them from this pain. Heal their hearts, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.